join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
And they should be geared up and ready to go next week. So if this is your first time visiting with us today, please don't judge it just by me alone. Our pastor is a much better speaker, so come back and get the real deal. That's what I was looking for. Thank you very much. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 is where we are going to find our text today. And I invited Renee up because I feel better when he's on the keyboard. So start playing, but don't tell him what the song is. Don't sing it yet because I know you want to sing it. But I wanted to continue in this thought of wisdom, but it's going to be very poignant. It's going to be very purposed because when you read the book of Proverbs, you hear these three terms over and over: understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. And there's a progression to them. Knowledge is when you gather the information and you store it. Are you following me? Y'all been to school. You have a lot of knowledge. Understanding is the ability to take the knowledge and to position it where it makes sense. And then wisdom is taking the knowledge and understanding and putting it into action. Are you following me? So wisdom is the hard part. Understanding, knowledge, theory. Wisdom, actuality. Are you following me? And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So there's one thing that I want to come across this morning, and I'm going to be brief. I have 8 pages of notes, but I promise you, I'm only going to preach 7 of them. I remember as a little kid, there was this thing that you would do when you got into a relationship with another person. You would take a flower and you would pick a petal off. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Until you got to the last petal and you prayed that you would get to that petal and it would be, she loves me. If you kind of saw that the math was not adding up in your favor, you accidentally pulled 2 at one time. Are you following me? And you proclaim it. She loves me. We sing these songs that I will love you, God. I will honor my life with you. But if you don't have the knowledge and the understanding of this song, I want you to play it. What key is it in? C? Is there water? Because this song is a song that we all learned. If you grew up in church, you learned it at the earliest stage of your life. And it goes, Jesus loves me. Come on, sing it. For the Bible tells me so. Are you following? It's been a while since you sang this song. Y'all remember it? How many children's ministers do we have in the house? Come on, sing it.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
First John chapter 3, verse 1 is where we find our text this morning. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children, and we really are. When you boil down the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it comes down to these 3 words. God loves me.
It's a knowledge and understanding. And if you do not grab hold of these three words, your life will never reach the limit God desires for you. You have to this morning. Some of you may have to prophesy it because it's not in existence yet in your life. Some of you might have to remind yourself, but these three words are some of the most important words that you will ever proclaim out of your mouth. God loves me. And on this Communion Sunday, we see the example of Jesus on a cross saying, I love you. And it allows us to say, truly, He loves me. A couple of things that I want to go over today is, number one, sinners matter to God. Look around. You're not all righteous. You're not all Jesus. Oh, we're in the process of becoming more like Jesus, but we're not all there. We still have flaws. We still have mess ups. We still stumble and fall. But though the righteous fall seven times, they what? They get back up. Sinners matter to a holy God. Millions throughout the history have realized that. And though they have failed in many ways, God still loves them. They hit their knees. They ask for forgiveness. And they get back up, not on their own power, but with the strength and helping hand of Jesus, of their Heavenly Father. Psalms 139, I love this scripture. It says in verse 17, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I want you to think about that. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. We live next to a beautiful beach called Galveston. But we understand that a grain of sand is very minute. And to think that our Heavenly Father loves us so much that simultaneously He is thinking about each and every one of us, and they outnumber the grains of sand. They continue to go over and over and over in His mind about you. Just like the angels round about say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they never quit because there's a new facet. There's a new thing about God that they come to understand and they proclaim it out of their lips. Our Heavenly Father looks at us in the same way and declares over us, you are good and you are mine. It's the reason why Jesus came. Because His thoughts about you and me, it stems from Adam and Eve. When they failed in the garden, was He disappointed? You dang right He was disappointed. But in that disappointment, He thought about them. And my Bible in Genesis chapter 3 says that I will provide and I will put enmity between your offspring and this serpent. And your offspring shall step on the head of this serpent, bruising its heel, but it will have victory. And He was talking about Jesus in Genesis chapter 3. Tell me He doesn't think about us. He cares about sinners. And in this church, we care about sinners. Because we are some. But the blood covers our sin. And we have to proclaim it. See, a person needs Jesus. I don't know about you, but I remember when I walked into these doors at 18. I remember when my atmosphere changed. I remember growing up in church, but I remember the moment that I realized Jesus loved me. In a moment when someone called me out in front of God and everybody. In a moment when I was hungover from a party. In a moment when I was down and out and didn't care about the things of God. When I was Barabbas and I had exited stage right, I remember He called me back to His side. I remember at a Passion conference in Fort Worth in this big convention center in 1999 singing a song, You Are My King. Do y'all remember the song? How does it go? You are my king. that right there. And I remember, it's nice having a piano player that can just, all these songs. I can remember being up in the upper deck and looking at the big screens. And in that moment, they showed like the Passion and Jesus going to the cross and seeing the blood on his face and on his back. And for the first time in my life, I'm crying. I've been crying since Dylan started. Stink of communion. For the first time in my life, it came, the knowledge that he loves me became understanding. It all fit together. All the years that my mom made me go to church, that's just a plug for parents. Make them come to church. Don't give them an option. Don't. Because even though they might kick, scream, and scratch, claw to get here like I did. Mom, I got football practice. I don't care if you're the starting quarterback. I don't care if you're the whole team. You're going to church.
Come on.
My mom would be on the sideline like that. My coaches hated it. But they knew. And in this moment at 19 years old, everything, all the knowledge, the VBS, all the scripture memory, all of that stuff that I didn't care about as a kid, it all became understanding in that moment. And seeing my Savior go to the cross, thank God for media, seeing it clicked. And the three words, God loves me, became so evident to me. And I felt it deeper than I've ever felt it before. And I believe that today it is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to bring this truth to realization for some of us in this room that have forgotten that truth. For some of us that have never experienced that truth. There's something about God's love that is trying to get into your heart today. How do we know God loves us? How do we know that God desires us? First, He says it, and second, He proves it. Do you remember the first time you said, I love you, to your spouse? How about this? How many of you remember the first time you said, I love you, to anybody? It's probably to first your parents, but I'm talking about that relationship aspect. You remember being on the awkward phone call at 6th, 7th grade? And boys don't like to be on phone calls. I'll just promise you that. They do it because they like girls. But the majority of the time nowadays, they're still playing Madden while they're on the phone. The speakerphone now. That was back in the day when we had those cords on the phone. Mom, can we get the 50-foot cord so that I can get away from y'all? You know what I'm talking about? And then cordless phones came out. And we were like, oh, thank God we can shut a door. But it was awkward, man, in those moments of, I wonder if she's going to say it back. Or maybe the awkward moment when they say it to you and you're like, I don't even like you. That's awkward. I love you. Great. Wonderful. Act like y'all ain't never been there. I can remember the place where I said it to my wife. We were young. We were very young. But I can remember we were sitting on her steps. They had a two-story, and we were sitting about halfway up. And I remember just we were laughing and giggling and just, I was enamored with this beautiful girl, and her eyes just captivated me, right? And thank God she was blind so she couldn't see who she was dating. But like I've told many guys, I had to lock it down early before she left for college to see that there was better options. Remember that, guys. Remember that. But I remember leaning over, and we had been dating for many months and many days.
days. And saying I love you, it's a high risk. You follow me. There is that moment. I asked Dylan this morning, man, when was the first time that you said, I love you? He said, it was in the car when I didn't have to make eye contact. He's not even in here. But I can remember, she was like sitting one step up, remember? And I was sitting one step down. I was like playing it cool, like, what's up? And I said, man, I love you. I think it took her back. Hello. And she said, what every boy wants to hear, if you say that, I love you too. So I put it out there. I said it. And from that moment on, the relationship changed. Because now, not only did I say it, but now I had to back it up with the proof that I did love her. And I proved it. I can remember being at U of H, and she was in high school still, down in Santa Fe, Texas. And I can remember driving Sunday morning after getting back, probably 1 a.m. from flights and football games and all that kind of stuff. I would get in the car at 7 o'clock in the morning. I would drive down to Santa Fe. I would pick her up. We would go to the Hilton Hotel where we would have church. Then we would leave church and we would go to IHOP almost every single Sunday. Can I get an amen for IHOP? Unlimited pancakes. Come on. You ain't telling. God loves you. Unlimited pancakes. All that jelly, all that syrup, different kind of strawberry. You know what I'm saying? Miss Fowler, you know. Pastor John probably takes you to those high-dollar places, too. I would then take her back to Santa Fe, drive all the way back to be at Runs at 12:30. Man, I tell you what, like nowadays, I'd be like, I ain't got the energy to do that. You follow me. You know what? You got a car? Go under it. Meet me there. I'm joking. But because I said I backed them up, any chance I got to drive down to Santa Fe, I was there. All the guys on the team, dude, let's go out. Let's do that. Man, I'm peace. I'm going to see my girl. Right? Because I loved her. I'd spoken it, and I wanted to back it up. And not only that, I can remember writing on note cards. This is going back. So y'all don't know nothing about note cards, okay? Y'all text it, y'all Facebook message it, y'all Twitter it with 50-something characters. But I can remember writing notes. Fellas, where y'all at? Anybody, write notes. Anybody, write a love letter? Come on. Be honest. Some of you are like, no, I'm a man. They wrote them to me. Well, they didn't. Too ugly. I can remember sitting down and putting in writing my heart to my wife. And she still has these note cards. I didn't have any paper. I didn't have a card. I had note cards in my backpack. And so I was just like, I'm just gonna put it on note cards and staple it. Boom. And she still has those note cards. We pulled them out the other day. And it's in writing, right? It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to put it in writing. Are you following me? So it's one thing to say it, and like, because lip service is lip service. Everybody says, I love you to everything now. Man, I love this, I love that, I love ya. If someone says I love ya, it ain't true. I love you. I love ya. Oh, drop them. That's true, right? I love you is formal, right? I love ya is, I kind of like ya. Drop them. And if you're the guy that's saying that, don't say it. But I love what Jesus says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where the Apostle Paul writes this about Jesus, puts it in words, puts this love on paper. I believe that this Bible that we read truly is God trying to tell us, I love you. I love you individually. I don't love my church. I love you. I love you. You make up my church. I love the church, but I love you. But God showed his great love for you by sending Christ to die for you while you were still a sinner. That verse grips me every time. That my Savior died for me, not because I loved him, but I was an enemy towards him. And in that moment, he still thought good enough of me to die for me and to give me an opportunity. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid, for I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Isn't that good to hear? You are mine. Be my Valentine. Be mine. Those little hearts, y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody loves them. They stink. They're nasty, but everybody eats them. Be mine. You are. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. See, this last verse, Jeremiah chapter 31, God differentiates the human love, this eros love, this erotic love, this phileo love, this brotherly love, with an agape type love, which is an everlasting love. It's a God-sized love. It's one that you and I can't even comprehend to the fullest because we love on a level that's not like God. If someone does you wrong over and over and over and over and over again, you put up a wall and you say, I will not do life with them like this. Yet our God, with an everlasting love, as we are Barabbas, do him wrong over and over and over and over and over again, anytime we want to come back into his arms, he's there with an everlasting love. It's something in our understanding that has to get there. It's something in our understanding that he loves me. It causes us to have security. It causes us to take a risk for failure. It causes us to get back up even when we miss it. If we have the understanding that God loves me. Those three words can change your life forever. I love over and over again, God says, I love you and that you matter to me. Psalms 103, he says, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the high height of the heavens above the earth. That's for all of our astronauts. For the animal lovers, he says in Luke chapter 13, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. That's for our ag people. For our moms in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for a child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you, says the Lord. I always remember looking into Casey's eyes when she had our kids. And she'd hold our kids and she'd hold Peyton, who's right here, who's 9 years old, throwing the deuce at me. And she'd hold them and she'd look in their eyes and we'd be dead exhausted and tired and we'd ask each other, why did we do this? But I can remember the way she'd look at them. It was a love that was not based upon anything that they had done. Right. It's the closest type of love that we see with God. Same thing as a father. For all of our fathers, I'm not going to leave you out in these verses. It says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Psalms 103:13. See, maybe none of these illustrations apply to you, but what about as friends. John 15:13, the greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our friend? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You might say talk is cheap, so what does it say he did? He gave Adam and Eve a second chance. Aren't you glad for that? You're here because of it. He gave Noah and his family the plans for an ark to escape from a flood. You're here because of it. He gave David forgiveness of sin when he sinned with Bathsheba. His love for Job by ending Satan's attack. He showed his love to his disciples by teaching them through his ministry, showing them the way. Through his healings and loving touch, Jesus showed his love to lepers, to the blind, to the lame, to the deaf, and to the hungry. And even showed it to church folk who are wrong in their ways. It may have been a little harsh, but he loved everyone. For God so loved the world. See, and I believe that there are things in our life that we've never seen, that the attacks of the enemy that we feel like we've had have been thwarted by God. We don't even know the extent of what could have happened. Amen. Are you following me? See, God's love today, I believe, is putting a hedge of protection around every single one of us. That no matter what we go through, His love conquers all. And when we have the understanding that God loves me, it changes everything. How could a loving God send people to hell? I don't think He sends people to hell.
That's right.
I don't. And I don't have a doctrine that there's not a hell. I believe there is. The Bible is very clear that there's a place that's separated from God. But God has clearly, through eternity, has laid out the plan of salvation for you and for me. It's very clear that the hands of our forests clap their hands. It's very clear that God has put His hand in every part of the heavens that we might experience life. Everything has to be in complete order for us to be able to take a breath of air. We have to be at the exact place from earth to the sun in order that we don't burn up or freeze to death. There is a plan that God has given to each and every one of us, and that's Jesus. And on this Communion Sunday, we see the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate love from our God. All other religions say, bow before me. All other religions say, come to me. But this one truth about Christianity is that our God did not ask for us to come to Him, but He came to us. And that proves to me, God loves me. And the theology of this great song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, is the one truth, the one knowledge, the one understanding that allows me to produce a life of wisdom that in the midst of chaos, I can stand firm and I can walk upright because my God loves me. Stand to your feet. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the, come on, don't make me sing it. Y'all go remember this. They. Sing it, come on.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Me. Yes,
I am so glad that you came today. How many of you are glad that you came to church this morning? I just want to end with this scripture because I love Pastor Fowler's blessings. Amen? Blessing is a prophetic declaration of God's word. And the priests were commissioned to say this to the people almost every single time that they were a part of an assembly. And why don't you do this for me as we end today's service? Why don't you raise your right hand and receive this out of Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. As you leave today, remember these three words. God loves you. God bless you.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.